Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome back, Rare Talks. You already know what it is. Like, comment and subscribe. If you haven't, make sure you go over to the Spotify and check out the exclusive episodes that we have on the Spotify. And I'm joined today by a special guest. Introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. I'm Cassia.
Cassia. Yeah. And Cassia does some interesting things in the community. So we're just going to have a conversation about that and every other conspiracy theory. I'm on conspiracy gang mode today. Today is my second one that I'm just getting. I'm saying, yo, what is going on in the world? So, yeah, how's your day been?
Yeah, it's been busy.
Busy, yeah?
Which is good.
When you say busy, like, does that mean like you've been doing lots of different things?
That's it, yeah. I've got ADHD, so I like doing multiple things at once. But when one thing kind of
derails,
goes the wrong way,
derails everything.
Everything goes wrong.
Your mind goes blank. Yeah. I do the same. Yeah. I don't have that, but I know of that.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. But yeah.
How was your day?
My day's been well, you know. My day's been well. I woke up this morning. Saw lots of
blessing.
I just woke up this morning. I said, "Wow, look how beautiful the day is."
That's it.
I smiled.
Damn.
Checked my business accounts, checked my emails, and then I realized that I'm a highly favored person. Like, I'm just a highly favored person. And it just made me say, you know what, let me go to the barber shop quickly. Went barbers, got a haircut, and then I said, you know what? I had a person before her, so we was just chopping it up. And we had a deep conversation off camera. And I realized that you never know what someone's going through. Everybody's going through something, but you just don't know what it is.
Exactly.
And I think, like, yeah, that just made me a little bit more grateful for today. So, yeah, my day's been good, if I'm being honest. My day's been good.
It's good to
have. So, let's get into this.
Let's get into it.
What got you into charity work?
I just realised that the help that people are getting is not good enough. And I've helped a lot of people just through short conversations, quick conversations. I've changed people's lives in like 5-10 minutes of time. And it just gave me a boost to continue doing it. But also, I feel like I find methods for a lot of things. It's like I kind of think outside the box 24/7. And there's a lot of like illnesses that I had in the past as well. And it's always like the simple things that work. And I always put that into perspective on other people as well. So that's how I always try and help them. And I usually do find solutions to their issues.
Is it tiresome though? So like trying to help others? Because what I've learned, I used to do a little thing every Friday with the youngest from my estate, yeah? Take them off the roads, innit?
Yeah.
And what I realised was that I enjoyed what I did personally, so it wasn't tiresome for me.
Yeah.
But then after, like, I'm not going to lie, 3-4 years, it started to make me think, like, there's other things that I want to be doing on this specific day. But because I felt like I was indebted to these people now, like, because they started to look at me like big bro. Even one of the youths came up to man and said, "Raw, like, you've taught me more than my dad's taught me." You know how mad that is when someone says that to you?
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know, but it's this mad responsibility now. Like, raw, like, I've got to be a positive role model for you. But I'm not in a positive space. So some weeks I'm going to help them and I'm not even in a good place myself. Have you ever been in a bad space but helping others?
Oh, all the time. Literally all the time.
How do you cope with that?
That's how I actually cope with it, because I take on other people's problems, I forget about mine.
Oof, but then yours is still there, though.
It is, but I kind of fit. Sometimes, you know what I realized is helping other people cope with their problems actually gave me answers to some of my problems as well. A lot of the time, people ask me questions like, oh, what would you do about this? And automatically, I have an answer. And then I think, oh, wow, I need to do that myself. That actually makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, but I do agree with you. Sometimes it is, like, it does get tiring, especially when you're not in the mood and you still have to go and do everything and then keep a smile on your face. And that's what I'm saying. People come to you with their problems and you're actually, like, something mad happened and you don't want to tell everyone because it's not about you. And you kind of want to just sit there and just firm it. Yeah, it does get tiring. It does get hard sometimes.
So what is the charity that you're doing at the moment? What is it?
So it's just bringing awareness to mental health. I feel like a lot of people don't know that everyone has mental health, like it's just part of our health. So I just want to bring awareness to people to say that anyone can end up in a mental health or a psychiatric unit or have some sort of diagnosis at any point in their life because of a stressful crisis that can trigger it.
It's funny that you say that, because mental health's looked at as something that somebody has and it's just triggered, like, because they have it or it's genetically passed down. That's what most people think.
I think we all have a lot of things passed down. Like, we all have bad genes. But I feel like stress is the main cause behind it. So stress triggers the whatever to come out, you know, whatever it is. That's what I think.
And what do you think stress looks like to you, to yourself? So, like, how does stress look to you? Because stress looks different to me to how it looks to you. Stress for me is like, what is stress to me? Like, I can't even think right now. But what does stress look like to you?
Stress is a thought.
Okay.
That's it. That's what it is. Because if, for example, there's two people, and the same thing happens to both of them. So they're both standing next to each other and they both get robbed and their car gets smashed, right? Mm. And one person is absolutely fine. Like, they laugh about it. They call their friend. They have a little joke. They call their insurance, sort it out. And the other person completely loses the plot, starts to see red, starts to go mad, starts to smash other people's cars, you know, like, just completely two different people. But it's all due to the thought processing. So I think it's a thought, actually.
It's important that you said that, because I always say to people, you're not a product of your environment. When you get to a certain age, you're a product of your thoughts.
100%.
As much as you don't realize it, your thoughts predict where you're going and what you're actually doing with your life. So if you can control the way you think, you can control where you're going.
100%.
And I feel like majority of my opportunities in my life and how I've become successful is because I've always had this undeniable, like, I'll be like to people, yeah, man, watch when I get this. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I get it. They'll be like, oh, you really? Yeah, because the way I think is my mind will tell me that it's going to happen. I don't have unshakable faith in myself.
Yeah.
But it took years for me to present that.
To get that.
Yeah, it took me years to get there. And a lot of, like, I hate when people use certain words around me. Because I'm very, like, particular of my language. I hate the word failure. I don't believe in failure.
If you work hard, you can't fail.
No, you can learn a lot of lessons.
Yeah.
And you can learn, you can fall into a lot of stumbling blocks.
Yeah.
But you can never fail if you are continuing. Failure, to me, is like...
You're never starting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the definition of failure to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got on a train and you tried to get to a destination and everything stopped you. You know, you didn't fail at your mission.
Yeah.
Things prevented you.
Yeah.
But you could always go there tomorrow.
Exactly.
But do you understand what I mean?
Like, if you didn't take the train.
That's it. You could have just sat at your house.
Yeah.
That to me is a true failure.
That
just
is
sitting
failure.
At home, doing nothing with your life and saying and having wishful thinking. It's when you get up and you make an action towards something, to me, you're a successful person.
100%.
In whatever capacity that is, because success has been brought into money.
Yeah.
And I hate that when people say, oh,
true.
You're not successful because you ain't got all the money in the world.
Yeah, it's not
but maybe
true.
I've influenced everyone around me to do good. Wouldn't you say that's a success story?
That is a success story.
But I have no money to show for that.
Yeah.
But I've changed a lot of hearts.
Yeah.
Is that what... So I don't really let people define what success is to me. I think success is to every individual.
100%.
And because everyone's journey is different. Someone could say, I stopped selling drugs. Oh, successful. I'm happy for you.
Yeah,
let's celebrate that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Not celebrate you coming out of jail and we're throwing champagne on you. Mm. These are the kind of silly things that we celebrate in the communities.
Oh, that's so funny. I see that a lot.
What are we celebrating?
That is hilarious.
Like, we're celebrating you coming out of prison for committing a crime. You could have killed someone, stabbed someone, do something, sell drugs to someone's family, and we're celebrating you coming out.
Yeah, literally.
Instead of actually giving you opportunity. But we'll hear our friends open a business or you start a charity and be like, oh, is it?
Yeah.
Like it didn't even exist.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. Let me know how it goes. Like, so, I get that.
So, yeah, I'm going to define that. How does charity measure... How does, like, charity to you, how does it measure to you? Like, what do you get from it? Like, when you're doing charity work and you're helping people, what do you get from it?
It's just about, I target people that actually want to be helped, because you can't help everyone. Mm. That's the thing about people. Like, when people go out there and think, oh, yeah, I'm going to help this person, that person, that doesn't work. Right. Like, when I say, you know, God can't change anyone, and everyone always says, oh, God can change. Yeah, God can. But God doesn't, because we've got that free will. Mm. So it's that free will that, you know, you, it is in control of your life. So whatever you want to do, you can do. So if you don't want to change, you're never going to change. No matter how much I try, no matter how much money I pay you, no matter how many people are involved, if you don't want to change, you won't change. So I always target the people that actually want the help. And sometimes people just need to, like, have a little chat, you know. Sometimes, like, our thoughts, when they're all inside our heads, that it will seem so much, but when we say it out loud, it's like, oh, it's not even as bad as we think it is. And a lot of people, they feel a certain way on that day. Like, for example, someone might feel so bad that they might commit suicide, but the next day they might have such an amazing day, but they just don't know that, because in that time and moment their thoughts is too much for them. So I target people that, you know, are struggling, and I try and help them as much as I can. Like, with the content that I'm making, is just to bring awareness at the moment. I am trying to get a lot of funding in to actually help people and try and get people off the streets and help people overcome addiction. I think it's very possible. Like, a lot of people that I've been talking to, when I was doing, like, the public interviews, they do actually want to come off the drug. It's just that they can't see a possibility. They don't know how. They don't know who's going to help them, who's going to be there to hold their hand. Mm. A lot of people feel really lonely in this world.
Mm. I think... change starts from within. So you've got to say there is a problem. So if I'm a drug addict, I've got to tell myself that I'm a drug addict.
Yeah, of course.
Which most drug addicts know. I was going to use a looser term for them, but I think I'm going to be respectful in this podcast for once. But people that take drugs, they literally, for me, they need to acknowledge that there's a problem. That's the first step. Like, you could come to them with all the solutions in the world, but if they think that they're justifying why they're doing what they're doing, then I don't think you can actually help them, because then I'm still trying to find excuses for my bad behavior.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You can't change everyone. So it's only the people that want to be changed. So a lot of people that are struggling, they will tell you, like, how they even started their drug addiction. They'll tell you, oh, this is the reason. So they actually know what even got them to that extent. And then you find a solution to that root cause. Once you find the solution to that, it's going to be a lot easier to then stop the drug taking, for example, or whatever they're doing, self-harm. And a lot of people self-harm in many ways. Like, people don't realize that taking drugs is actually self-harm as well, because you know it's bad for you, still doing it. So a lot of people that smoke weed, that's actually self-harm. Like, a lot of people that overdrink on their nights out, that's part, like, that is self-harming.
I call self-harming someone being promiscuous. I call that self-harming.
Yeah.
Whether people see it or not, I believe that's self-harming to your soul.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because you could sleep with... I know men that's going through depression and just sexing bare gals to try and get out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know bare gals are going through whatever they're going through in their household, and they're sexing men to think that they can forget that. But that problem still exists.
No, of course. A lot of women as well have a lot of sexual partners because they feel lonely as well. They feel really lonely. So when they have sex with this person, they feel like they're wanted. And then once that void is not fulfilling anymore, they go to the next person, and then they feel like they always think that's going to fill the void, but it doesn't. It's just actually loving yourself and finding hobbies and stuff. It's just so many things to so many other, like, there's so many solutions to everything, but people just don't know, they just go for the wrong thing sometimes. But it is influence as well. Like, the worldly influence is quite bad.
Would you mean, when you say worldly influence, what are we talking about? The Western ideologies?
Yeah, or
are we talking about Western ideologies?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just the world in general. Like, even if you just, like a TV, for example, you know, you turn your TV on and it's just crazy. Like, when I was abstaining from sex, I found that, it's so crazy. Once you kind of step out of that circle, you start to see it more. And it's like every single second I was hearing about sex. This person, that person, dick, vagina, this, that. This person slept with this. It was just sex, 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 sex. Throughout the whole day, that's all I heard. And it's like, am I going crazy? Like, is it because I'm abstaining from it? Like, you know, but then you realise, no, this is actually what's happening. Then you turn on the TV and then there's like, you know, the pride thing. And then you turn on the next channel and then there's like sexual stuff going on. Titties are out, you know, this person, like, it's just crazy. I think it's crazy. Music, ooh, like, let's not get into that.
We are going to get into that.
Yeah.
But I find it very, that is actually real though, what you just said. When you stop looking at something from a certain view, it starts coming at you from all kinds of angles.
Fast.
So I can say, I can relate to what you said in the sense that I've said, you know, I don't know, looking at no girl. Bro, every single nice girl in the world has appeared into my eyes. What the hell is going on, bro?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're all looking at me. Why? Why today of all days? Yeah, I said, I'm not doing this. No, I'm lowering my gaze. I'm not even looking today.
Yeah.
And my eyesight's on the floor. But it's so hard. When you try to do good, everything evil attacks you at once.
100%.
And I think that's what was happening to you. Mm. It's like, because now you said, yeah, I'm staying in. Oh, it's attacking you six Everything. Times harder.
Yeah.
Because obviously before you'd have been like, you would have noticed certain things, but now it's attacking you
at
all the rapid speeds. So yeah, I can relate to that, man. And it's sad that this society is pushing those agendas on us.
So bad.
Because the kids growing up now are, at the click of their fingers, they can be on a porn set. Do you know how mad that is? When I was younger, you know what I'm saying, I'm old now. I had to go onto the internet and it was a big Packard Bell screen, yeah, near my living room. So my mum and dad could walk past at any time. So if you was going to do anything mad, and the sites weren't that much, so it was like you had to search for stuff. Even though it was about, you used to search for stuff. So imagine now, just the click of your hand, yeah, in 5 or 3 seconds, you could be on a site watching a madness and just click off.
Yeah.
That is crazy. So your child's being over-sexualized. Society's pushing this pride thing on you. So your child's constantly exposed to sex, 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 because they're always talking about sex. What sex are you? What sex is this? What sex is that? Don't you get it?
They don't even know what sex is, most of them. And the thing is about kids, it's like you're very confused at that age. You have so many hormones, you're growing, like you don't know. Like, for example, when I was younger, I wanted to be a guy. I wanted to be a boy. For ages, I was like, what? I don't wear makeup. I can just whack on some pair of jeans, walk around like this. Like, I wanted to do that. I can't lie. And I was quite masculine. I was a little tomboy, but I was like a girl, obviously. But I didn't like it. I didn't like dresses. I didn't like all the girly stuff.
But now they would say that you're a lesbo.
Yeah.
And that you don't like boys because of that. Mm. That's society now. If you was, I don't know when this was, but like, society now said this to you, they would be pushing that maybe you are a boy.
Yeah, if that's how you feel, then you're probably in the wrong body. Then,
do you know what, do you want to take these pills?
Yeah,
hormone blockers.
What, so my boobs are gonna stop growing?
Yeah.
Wow, let me take that. So I could just fit any top. Wow,
look like one of the man then.
Ooh. Yeah, I want that.
Yeah, and your voice gets a little deeper because obviously you're kind of manly already.
I've been trying to do that already. Perfect. Sign me up. Let's go. Yeah. So easy.
Do you know how many what they're not teaching us is about the detransitioners?
Oh, yeah. You can't go back.
But do you know how many people there is?
Oh, yes. I've spoken about this.
They're suing now. They've gone crazy. These little kids, these little girls and boys said, I can't believe I was manipulated into this.
Yeah. How can you let me do that? How can you let a child? This is what I'm saying.
Mutilate. Listen to the word they used.
Yeah.
Mutilate my body. Because, you know, once you cut things off and you do things, you know, there's not,
it's too much damage.
You can't, it's no reversing. You know what I
mean? There's
right?
no reversing.
There's no reversing. Once you cut things off and That's do it. Certain things, you live with that for the rest of your life. So,
and they have issues as well.
too much issues.
Too many issues. Because it's not biological. What you're doing, you're playing God.
So you see, when you was a tomboy, yeah? Mm. Like, so in your mind, you thought you was a boy. And this is really good because I know a person in my family that's actually going through this with their daughter.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, their daughter thinks because she doesn't like boy stuff.
Yeah.
She plays basketball.
Yeah.
She wears jeans.
Yeah.
She don't like wearing makeup. Mm. She thinks that...
She's a boy.
No, she thinks she's attracted to girls. But she thinks that, but she's never been with a boy.
Right, so she...
But how would she know?
Yeah.
But
it's what she sees. It's what she views. And the thing is, the craziest thing is that she could have even been the opposite before, but because she's watching so much of that content as well, she's just absorbing it, and subconsciously it's planting its seeds as well. People don't realise that. Whatever you watch, whatever you see, like you subconsciously consume it, it's going to affect you. It's just, okay, I'll give you an example. I used to be a drill fanatic. Mm. I used to love drill. Mm. I used to listen to drill in my bathtub when I'm relaxing. That's how crazy it was.
Wait. Who listens to drill in a bathtub?
Bubble bath, candles, drill.
Put the candles out. I'm going to ching man down to his socks get...
Crash. What? Yeah, I loved it. And I would just sit there and smoke my spliff and I would be so happy. And then, right, so I've stopped, obviously, I'm trying to be a different person, so I know weed's bad for me, I've cut weed off, I've tried to abstain from sex, still trying, you know, I've had my little ups and downs of it, but I'm trying, right? There's a lot of things that I've changed. One thing that I was struggling with was music. So when I cut down music, when I cut music off, well, the bad music, I would go to the gym, you know, and it would be like, I can't listen to this song in the gym, you know, and then it would be really difficult. So I'll play the drill, you know, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, like I'm feeling it. I got the pump. I'm doing the progressive overload. It's easy. And then all of a sudden, it's like I get out from the gym and I want to do bad things again. Like I want to smoke weed again. I want to fuck, you know, I want to do things that I was actually fine without. And then as soon as like I get that little bit of influence, like that little bit of something, I don't know what it is, it does something. Kanye West says it as well. He said that, what is it, 808 frequency, you know, it's like a hallucinative sort of hypnosis sort of music. And then whatever words get thrown out there, it kind of plants itself.
I'm 100% believer. I used to, you're preaching to the choir, I used to tell man that a man that listens to bare sweet boy songs is a gallus, because all he's listening to is beer gal song, how to finish gal. A man that's listening to bare gangster music is on roll doing his thing. 100%. Man that's listening to trap is because he's trying to trap. Man's got Blade Brown in the car from London all the way to Swindon on repeat. Bags and boxes.
That's
bagging
it.
Up. I'm really in the trap mode. Like, bro, I don't even want to talk to people.
Yeah.
Everything my man said, they have to lock off the phone for a week. I'm locking off my phone for a week.
Yeah.
It's like I've been absorbed into the music.
100%.
And I feel like a lot of people don't talk about how demonic music can actually be.
So demonic.
In the sense that people can't see it for what it actually is, because it's just there in people's minds. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So that's that one there. Yeah, that's crazy, because I've seen the effects. Like, even my brethren, he always reminds me of this wild story when I was younger. Like, we was listening to Styles P in the car.
I love Styles P.
I'm crazy. I'm local, doing the fofo.
Yeah.
I got a bulletproof Volvo, model chick sucking dick way down in Soho. He's saying that when he put that on, was driving, and somebody jumped out the car, robbed someone, popped their chain, punched them in the face, and jumped back in the car. I was like, is it? Raw, like... And he's like, it's because of that song that the person done that. Because the person sees that getting gassed.
Yeah, so, I get that.
So I understand when a youth's listening to drill and he's rolling with his 12-inch, how he's feeling.
Yeah.
He's feeling like, bro, I'm going to dip something up today.
100.
So when he sees something, that's not even ops.
Yeah, someone just tripped him up.
Yeah. I'm out, brick.
Yeah, from a dickhead.
12 inches. Then before you know it, he's in jail for life.
Yeah, literally.
Now the music stops.
Yeah.
Now he's in the dark cell. Now he's alone. Reality kicks in.
But it's like one or the other as well. Like, if he continues listening to that, he's going to come out even worse.
Oh, while he's in prison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to get mad. He's going to be angry.
After 23 years or 18, I think he needs to relax still.
Yeah. It is bad as well. Even like the sex stuff is crazy. like in even not drill things like, but American music, very, very sexualized. Mm. All they talk about is dick and vagina, big ass. I can continue. It's literally all I hear.
But is it because it's got a consumer market for it though? Because obviously, if it wasn't working, they would stop it and try something different. There has to be a consumer market for it.
I don't think that's it. I think they're just trying to... Sex sells. Mm. So whatever they're trying to sell is selling. Mm. So I feel like that's what it is. It's just that sex always sells. That's pretty much it. Everyone loves sex.
Do you think inside of music, sex is entwined inside of it? So like, I would say violence, sex and love is entwined inside of music.
Mm.
So all music is entwined in three things: sex, money, drugs, all of that. But you catch people that can't speak about all of that, but they're speaking about love. So even someone who's doing gospel music is still talking about love.
Yeah.
Even some Arab that doesn't even, who's playing a drum, is still speaking about love.
Mm.
So music's entwined, this is my belief, music's entwined into them three things. And once you understand that, then you understand how to sell yourself, because a lot of people, like, they'll be doing some weird stuff, like, yeah, I'm making music for me, and I'm making real music. But I'm like, but that's not what the youths want to hear. The youths, if you want to make music in this day and age and be successful, you've got to make what's going to sell.
Yeah.
Or you're just wasting your time. For me personally, I'm just looking at it like that. I'm a businessman. I'm looking at everything from a business acquisition. I'm not looking at it from a personal. Forget personal.
Yeah.
You don't. And I was trying to say this to someone, like, someone was trying to say to me, oh, we should start, like, a black business market. And as much as I love the idea of it, I know that in practicality it's not possible, because my client base could be Jews and white people. What I'm going to say no to them because I'm just trying to do something for the sake of this. I've never gone into McDonald's and McDonald's told me about black, white, Indian, Asian.
Yeah.
I never gone into KFC. Successful businesses that's been around for years. Coca-Cola, do you ever hear them say about black, white?
Yeah.
Successful companies don't do that. And if you've looked closely at the fashion industry, look close at the fashion industry, what they're doing. Pharrell literally just became something of LV. Why did they put him in that position? Did you see who the CEO was?
No.
Some Italian looking don.
Okay.
And he was surrounded by who? Black brothers. But why? Because he understands
the
biggest consumers of LV right now
is black people.
And the biggest consumers are passed on to them are going to be black people.
Yeah.
So why have we not got successful black people here? Are we twisted? Go get Pharrell. Pharrell, get everyone you need to get. Pharrell had everyone in the world in the room.
Yeah.
Man had the whole of UK, because UK is probably the biggest in at this moment right now. The UK scene is bigger than it's ever been. Like, I'm talking, we're global.
Yeah, but it's not good.
Yeah, it's obviously it's not, but I'm saying we're global, meaning that we've never been in this position ever before, where other countries look at us and imitate us.
We're at that point right now.
Brother, Americans in NYC, Bronx, they've been copying drill in the UK.
It's mad.
They've been saying that. Imagine England copies Chicago.
Yeah.
Then we made our own sound out of that. And now it's like, it's a whole different genre now.
Yeah.
And it's actually big, because you have somebody like, I don't even know, bro, Boris Johnson's girlfriend would probably be playing Digga D in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta protect my energy. Like, do you see what I'm saying?
It's true.
In that kind of era now.
I've seen it.
It's just, I feel like, at this moment right now, the way that music is programmed is that it's programmed to do one of three things, and it's to erupt a certain emotion inside of you. Does that make sense? That's why usually when people drive, they're listening to what? Music.
Yeah. You know, but they listen to, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like it's such a big thing, because music, everyone listens to music, and the easiest way to manipulate the most amount of people is doing something that everyone else is like doing, like basically trying to say that if there's millions of people doing something and there's 1,000 people doing something, you're going to go into the millions to try and influence them. So for example, when I listen to drill, not to mention the feelings that come with it, but I usually have like a pissed off mood as well. Like, I'm not happy, I'm not smiling. So for example, if I start my day with a bit of reggae, so much better. Like, I'm happy, I'm smiling, everything's good. Like, if someone trips me up, I'll be all right. I'll be like, oh, don't worry about it, mate, you know, take care. But if I listen to drill, I don't know what it is. It's like my face just drops. I'm angry. I don't take no shit from anyone. I flip really quickly, you know, I get a bit agitated, like I get aggressive, like it's just, it all comes together, but it's just the words as well that come with it. That's what creates the bigger effect. But even without that, it's just the whole, the energy of that music. Mm. It's not good. And even when I'm not looking for trouble, it was like coming to me. When I've stopped listening to drill, I'm free. Like, there's no one talking to me. Like, there's no one being rude. There's no, literally, it's so weird.
You bring about, I don't know about if anyone believes this, but you do bring about things upon yourself.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't believe in this, but I do.
No, I do.
So I believe that I've been in places, yeah? Mm. And I've gone in there with good vibes, good energy.
Yeah.
And it's because I've been listening to these, like, I was listening to 50 Cent's book, yeah? Hustle harder, hustle smarter. So I'm listening to this book, and it's saying in the book, you always see the rich guys in the club, they never start trouble, but all the guys that are broke and ain't got nothing going on for them, they want to kill you and do the most.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, and I was like, I was in the club and some guy was just like me mugging me,
then, yeah,
like, what are you looking at? And I said, I ain't looking at nothing, bro. And in my back of my mind, I was just listening to them words, I was thinking, yeah, he ain't really got nothing to lose. I can tell. Look at the way he's dressed.
Yeah.
Look at his hairstyle. Mm. Look at his pockets. I can tell by his whole demeanor that he doesn't have a lot to lose, but I do.
Yeah.
I could mash you up right now and get away with it, but I've got so much to lose.
Yeah,
so
is it worth it?
If this problem can be resolved by me saying, I ain't looking at nothing, bro. And you just walk off. It's cool with me. I don't really mind. I don't mind playing that back seat for now. I don't really mind that because in my mind, you ain't got nothing to lose. Because I would have never got up and made my way to you, bro. You're not that important to me.
Yeah.
You know, some people, like, on the internet, they'll say, oh, yeah, like, I have people beefing on the internet. And they'll be like, yeah, come link me then. And I'm like, bro, I haven't got time. Like, literally, not even to be rude, but like, what do you do with your life that you've got so much time that you can just go and link someone? Brother, I swear that I've got bare things to do. If I do have some free time later on, I will try my hardest to meet up with you.
Yeah, help you out.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
talk this out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like when somebody doesn't have a lot to lose, then their mindset is in that kind of self-destructive mode.
Mm,
so when your mindset's like progressive and you got so much going on, you don't even have time for that. Like,
You just ignore the comment as well.
I really want to argue with you, but I literally don't have time.
Don't have time.
And I feel like that's why it's always good to be busy as a man.
Mm.
You should never be lackadaisical where you're at home just chilling in your boxes the whole day. Number one, your missus ain't going to respect you.
Yeah.
Even though she might allow it, she's not going to respect you. After a day or two, because you're resting, because your body's tired, okay, I understand. But every day,
the roles are going to switch. She's going to become masculine. They're going to become feminine.
100%.
Yeah.
So I don't really see how that works. But just talking about the music industry, now we're on it. What do you think of Central C signing with Columbia Records?
So I've been following Central C before he even got famous. So I've always thought, like, the boy has talent. Like, he is very skilled. But as soon as I seen him with Drake, with French, all them people, it kind of scared me a little bit. Everyone's happy for him. Everyone's cheering. And I'm like, my heart is collapsing. And it's not because I'm like, not happy for him. It's because that they're dangerous people. That industry is such a dangerous industry. And if you're hanging out with these people, like, fame has a price, and it's a big, big price. And people don't really know about it. Like, now, right now, it's all coming out. Like, people are talking about it. Kanye West, what's that guy from Fast and Furious? That guy, Bold.
Tyrese.
Yeah. He was on a podcast and he literally said it as well. He was like, these people drinking blood, sacrificing babies, eating babies, you know. And I've known about this time ago. When I tell people, they think, you need to go to a psychiatric ward. And that's why I used to work as well. So they thought, yeah, makes sense, you know? And it was like, no, guys, like, because you know what it was? When I was younger, I used to love all these celebrities and whatnot, not like obsessed with them, but I used to really like them, look what they're wearing, you know, like be really influenced by them. And then I seen them in the shows and whatnot, and they're just sitting there looking unhappy. And I'm thinking, if I reached my goals, and if I had all this money, and if I had all the family, and if I had all the houses, I would not be sitting there with this grumpy ass face. And I'm thinking, something's not right. there's something not right. And then I look at the other person next to him and it's the same. And it's like, they all have the same face. And for me, it was just something dodgy. And then since then, I've always been like researching a little bit more, and they actually generally talk about it. Like Eminem has a song, and I can't remember the name of it, but he literally talks about his relationship with the devil. He literally talks about it, and he makes, like, there is a response in the song, like a devil's voice that's talking to him. And he's literally talking, like, please let me go. Like, I've done all the work for you. Like, I don't want to be tied up in this anymore. And he's like, nope, I'm not letting you go. You signed your soul. That's it. You're done. Like, and he's like, you know, I'm trying to kill myself. And, you know, he's saying that in the song. He's literally saying he's going to kill himself. And is the voice is responding, you can kill yourself, but the soul's still mine. You know, and it's like, it's crazy. It's like, people don't know about the song.
I think that's, I'll be honest, I think that's drugs though.
No. He was literally talking.
DMX had a song called Damien. Mm. Now, obviously, I don't know if you know who Damien is. Damien's meant to be the son of the devil.
Yeah.
That's what he's meant to be. I don't believe.
Who is that though? Who's that?
DMX.
Oh, DMX. Ago.
Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. He done that album.
Mm.
It's a mad album. It was one of the best albums. I don't know how I got hands on that album, mm-hmm. but I had that album when I was younger.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, this song is him talking to the devil. Now, everyone at the time, it was a scary kind of song. Like, what you know, you mean? Like, it's a bad boy tune, but it's wild. Like, how he's doing it, yeah? But.
No, please do that again. The song? My name is. Oh, rewind. Nah, that was hilarious. Viral.
But what I'm saying, yeah, DMX done a song, yeah, called Damien, yeah, when he's doing the voice, yeah. Like a little Damien, you got it. I'm gonna get him in the set with me on a day. He was doing a mad voice in the whole song.
Nah, that's mad.
And I thought the song was like he was talking to the devil, bro, all that time. I didn't know DMX was on drugs.
Yeah, but they're all on drugs. That's
what I'm trying to say.
That's true. But the thing is, okay, have you ever watched Eyes Wide Shut? Ever watched that film?
Why does that sound familiar? I think so.
It's an old film. It's but it really shows what's been going on here. Like it literally opens the eyes. So basically there was a guy, he got invited to, well, he really wanted to come to some party that his friend was playing a piano. He got paid a lot of money for it, but he was blindfolded, so he can't see what's going on, but he's getting paid like racks for this performance, like couple hour performance. And he was like, get me in. He's like, look, I don't think I can get you in. He's like, please. He managed to get him in. He said, let's put a mask on, this is the password, yeah, whatever. He's come in there. Now straight away people noticed, like, he doesn't really belong here. He didn't put his mask on straight away, you know, he's acting a bit sus, like he's moving around, doesn't know where he is, you know. People straight away started to notice him. And then this thing just began, like this whole ceremony thing. Like women come dressed in all black, you know, and they all made a circle, you know, and then the bell rang, and then they took their clothes off, and then they just went out there and picked any guy and just fucked them. And it was like a sex party, and it was drugs, and it was just mad. So one of the women, she ended up picking him. She ended up taking him back, wherever they went. And then she was like, oh, you don't, do you come here often? And he's like, no, this is the first time. She's like, get out of here now, like, get out. Like, she warned him, like, go now. And he's like, no, I want to stay. She's like, go now. Like, she's saying, warning him, like, go now. And then he didn't want to go. Eventually they clocked on he didn't belong there, and they were like, right, well, he's got to be, like, we're gonna kill him basically. And the woman was like, no, like, I'll redeem him or something like that. So basically they kicked him out. And then the next day he got the newspaper that, like, this, I can't remember if she was a model or someone, but the top model, whatever, died of drug overdose. So it kind of showed that, you know, all these celebrities that have died of this drug overdose randomly. It's weird. Yeah, it's like, it's not Amy even sacrifices.
Amy Winehouse.
What's the other one? Whitney Houston, isn't it?
Bare of them, actually.
Bare. Like, literally, they all have the same thing. Drug overdose. Look at Marilyn Monroe. They didn't even find drugs in her body.
What's his name? What's that guy? That guy from America, man. Juice WRLD.
Yeah. So they like Marilyn Monroe, for example, they said it was a drug overdose. They said it was a suicide, but they didn't find any drugs in her body. So it's the same thing with all of them. They all have a similar story. They all die of drug overdose, and they all feed them the drugs, so they're present in the system. So all these parties that they go to. So I know a couple people. Like obviously, I used to be a bit in that industry. Not saying that I was part of it, but I know a lot of people in that industry. And there's a lot of people that went to these weird parties, and it was the same thing as that movie, basically. And there was a lot more going on. Like people were saying, you know, if you don't, you know, you want a music label, okay, go behind that door and then suck all their dicks, or like get cummed like on your face. We'll record it. That's your contract. You don't want to do it? Okay, cool. They'll drug him. Do it anyway. Next day they'll be like, you signed the contract? No. Show him the video. Like it's, I heard this so many times. This is not a joke. This is real shit. So when I see Central C hanging out with French, everyone's gassed. I'm not. I'm actually feeling sorry for the boy because he doesn't know what he's signing up for. He don't know what that fame has a price. They'll let him know, oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. When you get a feel of everything as well, it's so different to let it go.
They gave him a lot of money as well.
They'll give you everything. They're like, yeah, parties, bitches, this, that, your family's set. Everything's blessed. What, you're going to let that go now? You're going to let it go? And there's another thing with people as well. You're in the eye now. So like everyone's watching you. So are you gonna fail now? You're gonna fail? Like they're gonna just take you off.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So they're giving you that high boost and they're saying, right now you've got to do this. Wow. And like, no. So Justin Bieber is another one. Do you remember the time he just disappeared? There was a time he just disappeared. Like, where's Justin Bieber? Yeah. Like, so there was news in Poland. It wasn't in the UK, but it came to Poland that he actually made he sued the management saying that they tried to get him to have sex with his fans, but his fans were underage. He was 16 or over, but the girls weren't. So he was not agreeing to that. And he kind of made a comment about it, and then he just disappeared. And then there was an interview with him or something that he said, I can't remember where it was said, but he said there was a party he was invited to, some pizza party, whatever. He got there. There was all these people there, all the big people again, you know, and he got handed some wine. He was drinking the wine and it didn't taste like wine. And then he looked around and there was a little kid in the middle of the room, dead. Half his body drained from blood and the rest weren't.
Justin Bieber said that.
Justin Bieber said that. Like, this is why he disappeared for time. He don't even look like himself. He's come back. He looks so
he's got
destroyed.
He's got some illness.
Yeah, of course, stress causes illness. Do you know, it goes back to that. But like, they destroyed him. He used to be such a happy child. If you even look at the interviews with like Ellen and stuff, they're all touching him up, and like, it's crazy how people have not noticed that.
And you're thinking Central C now, 25 million. Is it 25 mil? 25 mil. You're saying that he sold his soul now.
I'm not saying he sold his soul yet. I'm saying they're trying to get him to do that.
It's too late if they've given you that money.
I don't know the steps of it, but I know that once you're in there and you have the money, you've signed this contract, there might be some little imprint you didn't read, and there might be a little thing on your journey that you're not going to like. And I think
there's going to be a lot of things you don't like on that journey.
Yeah. I heard a lot of stories about that. There's like a lot of stories about the parties, about the kids. And the thing about the kid thing is like they everyone always laughs about that, but if you think about it, what's the most innocent thing in this world?
A child.
Yeah. And what do you think the devil wants to destroy? Most innocent thing. It's the most purest thing. It's like, it's such a gift from God, a child. That's why the devil like really plays on that part. It's not because he has some weird obsession with kids. It's literally because that really hurts God, basically. That's the most innocent, that's the most purest thing.
I think that's the most heinous act that we all can justify, regardless of what religion, what culture, we all against that in general, like as humans.
It's,
we're all
fucked
against
up.
That. Like, we're all against, that's why when a nonce goes jail or someone who's touched kids, it's peak for him still. Doesn't even have to be me. It could be a Polish guy, it could be a Romanian guy. Once we hear that's what you're in jail for, it's like we're all against you.
And do you see how paedophilia is quite protected as well?
No, nowadays it is.
No. Before it was people that wasn't protecting it. I'm saying, but the government's always tried to protect it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because now I feel like back in the day it was more vigilantes. You'd get a vigilante thing.
No, it's people in jail. It's people that would. It's people that would kill him. It's just the community that fucked them up before. But now they're like protected. Like they've got a different cell. They've got a different building. Because before, like they would end up getting killed.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying they're very protected. Like they go to a mental institute. They don't even go to prison.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
They're dirtbags. So there's they're classing as a mental. Bro, they should just mute them. Yeah. Sedate them.
I kind of disagree because I feel like everything comes from experiences. So I used to work in mental health, and I worked with a lot of paedophiles, and all their story is pretty much the same thing. Like they either seen it, experienced it, or was part of it when they were young. So a lot of people, like
So you think paedophiles should be given a second chance?
I think that like there's a way to unprogram that behavior.
You can't. I feel like.
Was you born a paedophile? No.
But you born that's the mental health condition there. For you to look at a 6-year-old or 5-year-old child and say, I'm gonna put my genitals or my private area into that little baby.
Yeah.
Number one, it's unnatural. It's ungodly. With a grown woman. She's got grown things.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm.
So touching and grabbing feels normal.
Yeah.
Like my hands can reach.
Yeah.
As a child, you just know it's wrong.
Like, yeah.
You know it's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Like your hands, your body,
they
your
do
mind.
Know it's wrong. But they do know it's wrong.
So then how can there be help for someone?
Because it's a thought.
It's an action.
Not all paedophiles actually do it. But they all start with a thought. Everything starts with a thought. So before they do anything, it's in the head. But the thing is, once you go back into it, okay, even animal stuff, what is that called when they do things with animals?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, when they have sex with animals.
Bestiality.
That's it. That's not normal as well. But it's a thought. What I'm trying to say is that when you're a kid, when your parents are not around and you're watching something, yeah, say you've never heard about sex, you don't know what sex is. You've never experienced it. You've never masturbated. You don't know anything about that. And your parents are not home, whatever. You've switched on a Discovery Channel and there it is. The elephant is having sex with an elephant.
Now, what you're saying would make sense if paedophiles weren't grooming and manipulating young children. So this is where it gets a little bit tricky now. So to get access to a child, you're not going to just have access to anyone's child unless it's your own child that you're molesting.
And they do that as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying
to do it to someone else's child, that means that you've had to creep in, plant thoughts. There's a lot of weird stuff you had to do. So you know kind of what you're kind of doing as an adult.
But it's so normalised to them. Okay, so what I'm trying to say, let me get to the point. So, okay, they see the elephants having sex, whatever, right? They don't think anything of it, but it's weird because of the voice, the noise, that everything is very sexual in that Discovery Channel. Mm-hmm. So it's going to... Because even as a child, your sexual organs are still your sexual organs. They don't, like, develop later. You still have everything. Everything's there. Everything's growing, you know. So when they feel that energy or see that energy or whatever, they will feel it too in their body. So it will have a reaction. And for example, if it's that first ever thing you see sexually, then you might be attracted to that now. Because your brain doesn't know what's real and what isn't, right? So then it's going to think that's what you're doing and that's the first ever sexual thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
First ever thing that got your dick up. So then now think of it now, like later on, you're like, what was that feeling? That feeling, that was weird, you know, that was sticking up. Like, what is that? You know, then you're going to touch it, you know, you're like, and then you're going to think of that elephant again, because that's what got it up. You, as a child, you're so innocent. You don't know that's wrong. You don't know what that is. So what I'm trying to say with pedophiles.
Children don't know when they're getting molested that it's wrong.
Yeah, they don't. They don't know it's wrong. They think it's normal. Okay, so now going back to the pedophilia stuff, it's like they think it's normal. For example, a lot of these pedophiles have been sexually assaulted as kids. Most of them have. The people that I have spoken with, they either been sexually assaulted as kids or they've witnessed it. They've witnessed like their sister or their brother or
but
something.
That still doesn't justify their
it
actions.
Doesn't justify their action.
Their
but what I'm trying
still
to say,
be reprimanded and they should still be held accountable.
No,
for
of
their,
course,
for their representation.
Not saying
actions.
That they shouldn't. Not saying that they shouldn't. What I'm trying to say is that they think it's so normal.
But, then I don't, but if you think children, because I believe in protecting the children. Everyone knows I do hashtag protect the children. Everyone knows me. Yeah. I do hashtag protect the children. And there's many ways to protect children. Mm-hmm. But one of my ways that I will say to people is that a man that sees a child as a sexual object can never be put into normal society as a normal human being.
No, I didn't say you're wrong. I definitely agree. I feel like they need help, professional help. When they get put in mental health institutes, guess what? They don't do anything. They just give them drugs. And then eventually, because they're on good behavior, they come out and do the same thing because they don't get any help. They don't believe. So like I said in previous podcasts, like a lot of these therapists, they haven't really experienced life. So they're not really trying to help them. They don't have methods. They don't have mental exercises for them. They just say, oh, do some art therapy. You know, but again, sticking a big plaster on an amputated leg. It's not going to work. They need mental exercises. They need things that will reprogram the mind. Everyone can change. A murderer can stop killing people one day and just never go back to it and think it's disgusting. They think it's disgusting.
Is different. I feel like there's some crimes, yeah.
Of course, it's
like,
different.
No, but I'm
but
saying,
it's still bad.
Do you believe me that there's some crimes that as soon as you do it, for me personally, there's no coming back. Like, do you understand what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I knew man was a nonce, I could never like even look at him.
I get what you're saying, but look at this now, yeah. So, for example, prostitution, yeah. So there's a lot of prostitutes that have been molested as children. Yeah. So, as from a young age, they've been sexually assaulted by their mum, dad, granddad, everyone. Like, there's women that I have met that have gone through that, and they're prostitutes now, and they think it's so normal. For so many people, it's like, wow, how are you coping? And it's like, I don't know anything else but that. So, you know, and they think it's so normal. Eventually, when they come out of it, then they see the difference.
Anything. If you said prostitution, I could see someone being a prostitute. Not even going to bat, no one, say no one's name in the family, but I know people that were prostitutes before,
yeah.
And now they're living a whole different life.
Yeah.
They're Muslim, on deen, they're not even on that anymore.
Yeah.
I know women that are very promiscuous and they're married and settled down with children. Seen them with their partner and I'm like, damn son. But my point of what I'm trying to say is with all of those things are things in society that's detested but still attested in society. Meaning that a prostitute still has a use to men. So yep. Men that some people might look at us as nothing, but there'll be some sort of men in the world, and this is gonna sound crazy, that might look at the prostitute as their girlfriend.
Yeah, there's some men that would stand with flowers in the
queue.
Yeah,
and yeah. They'll do anything for the prostitute. They see past all of that and they see her pain and just want to love her. As for a nonce, there is nothing he has worth of value.
There is.
Except death.
No, there is, because some kids don't have love in the house. Some kids don't have.
But you're a grown man, you're committing these crimes, though.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, some kids. So see, this is where people get confused. Like, how do these paedophiles get these children? How do they manipulate them? It's not really about that. They pick on kids that are not specifically, maybe, like, not all of them, but I'm saying they usually target kids that are in trouble a lot, that are not loved, that are not noticed, those type of things, you know? So that's what they give to them. And then eventually that's when they will the way in. Or, you know, sometimes they do rape kids as well. But I'm saying, like, that's how, you know, they do have those certain things that, you know, they see, okay, you're missing the love, I'll give you that. But then I'll want something in return. So, you know, everyone's got something. Unfortunately, it's true. And a lot of these women, for example, that have been victims of sexual assault, they tend to kind of let it happen again. Not saying they let it happen, but it's like a cycle. Like, a lot of women that I've met that have been sexually assaulted once, mm-hmm. usually happens again, mm. some point in their life. And some women that have never been sexually assaulted, doesn't happen, you know, and they're in the same location, in the same area. It's so weird how they attract the same character.
Do you think that's something to do with that we say we want one thing but we really want another? Because I believe that, I'll never forget, I was in a relationship once with a girl and she said to me, "Punch me in my face then." And I looked at her and I thought, "What? You don't really love me because you can't punch me in the face, you prick." And at that moment,
was that during sex or
no? That was just like,
oh,
yeah. And I looked at her and I thought, "You want me to bang you in your face?" And kind of because I kind of got to know her, I understood what that came from. That came from seeing her parents fight all the time, and she thought
that was love.
Love was me or a man abusing you, and her ex bust her eye, left her with a scar.
Yeah.
So she kind of like thought probably that this needs kind to of happen. Normal behavior.
Why haven't you punched me yet?
But the thing is, when you're with someone that's just not going to punch you, now you've lost respect for me as a man. Now you can't be in me because I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
And it made me sad in my heart because I actually thought in my head, raw, like, if I had assaulted her, I'd still be with her now.
Yeah.
But now I've lost this girl because I didn't want to assault her.
Yeah.
But then I had to come back to reality and say, raw, that's person's toxic. Proper damaged.
Yeah, like, it is, yeah. But do you get it? How old was she? If you don't
big
mind.
Woman.
That's what I'm saying. Do you get it? So can you see that? The sort of the psychological effect it has, even though she's a grown woman, she's experienced life, she knows punching someone is bad, but her heart doesn't know any different. It's like the heart kind of feels like, oh, that's love. That's all I've been shown. That's the love that I know. So this peace thing is not really love. What's that? Like, it doesn't react in the same way. So it's the same thing, like, with paedophiles. Like, they know it's wrong, but they just, they are so normalized to it. And they've been doing it for years, or they've had that feeling for years, or thoughts, that they think they can never change. They think that they are the way they are, and they can never change. Now, that's why I don't like when people say, oh, they should just be dead. I get where you're coming from, because, for example, if I had a child and it was sexually assaulted, I would... Yeah, I'd probably go to jail. I'm not going to lie to you, but I'm just saying from understanding the perspective of things, I know that they just think they can never change. But it's not true. Like, every second of the day, we're capable of changing ourselves to who we want to become. But it's just if they decide that they want to change, that's the only difference.
Do you know what? I agree with you and I disagree with you.
And a lot of... So,
I don't feel like you can change when you molest children.
Nah, you can. And another especially thing is...
If you feel like you can get away with it. Because for me personally, how do you think you can get away with something like that to someone's child? That's mad.
Yeah, well, it does affect them later on. Like, for example, the people, the paedophiles in the mental health institutes, they were really, like, self-harming themselves, like trying to kill themselves basically for what they did. So they do feel bad, but they'll still go on and try and find pictures of children next day. So it's like it's hard to explain, like, and especially those that have been sexually assaulted. So I'll give you an example as well. So one of the patients, he, you know, I was speaking to him and he was like, you know what, like, no one talks to me. No one, like, you're the only person that actually sat down with me and spoke to me. And I said, yeah, because I want to know how you got to where you are today. like, what happened in your childhood, da, 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 da. And then he was like, well, yeah, like, I was sexually assaulted by my dad, da, 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 for a long time.
Do you know why, and I understand the science behind what you did. What you done is you have to understand everything.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing and a bad thing. I'm gonna give you the reason why, yeah? And this is me being real with you, yeah? Is you'll be in a relationship with someone, see them doing fucked up shit, but want to get to the understanding. Get to the understanding and then have empathy towards them. So now you don't look at what they're doing as bad because you're like, I kind of know his backstory.
I don't agree that it's not bad. I never said that. Like, everyone always has a go at me. They're like, oh, but you're saying... I'm never agreeing with that behaviour because actually I was a victim of that as a kid.
No, but I'm
so I get that.
Victim of what? Peter Victor?
Yeah, so I was sexually assaulted as a child.
No way.
Yeah, so I definitely understand that. Like, I know exactly... I was 9.
Damn.
Yeah.
And you remember it?
Yeah.
Because you know sometimes at certain ages you block things out in your
you
mind.
You do block things out, yeah.
There's a terminology for it. I can't remember when you mentally block something out. I can't remember.
It's this trauma response.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so I definitely understand. Like, I'm not agreeing with this. And it did affect me in my younger days. Mm-hmm. Like, it had a lot of effect on me. And
in which way? The good way or the bad way?
Bad way.
Okay.
It was bad. And... So I definitely understand. I'm not saying I agree with that. You know, I definitely don't, and I don't like that behaviour, and it's definitely a sin, and it's definitely wrong, and it's definitely ungodly. It's definitely devilish. Yes, I agree. But it's a way of, when I understand it, I might be able to help you. That's the only thing that kept me trying to help these people. Like, if I was with a man and he was doing fuckeries, I wouldn't be there. You know, I would leave. If he wants help, I could probably try and help him, but I wouldn't be with him. Like, that's the relationship that's ended, right? Mm. But going back to, like, that guy... Going back to the guy that I was...
interviewing.
Yeah, like, in the mental home. Mm. So when he was sexually assaulted by his dad, he was around the age of 4. Mm. And he said... Well, and when you looked at his victims... His victims were all around the age of 4. And then when you looked at the men he's raped...
Whoa. Say that again?
So
His victims are what age?
4.
4.
4. Okay. Yeah. So is the... Can you see that was the set? So he... Okay, when I said, do you know the age that they were? He said, no. And I said, how old did they look? And he said, 4. So that's how you know. It goes back into what he knows. That's what happened to him when he was young. Mm. And he's, like, projecting that trauma onto these other kids in the same age, thinking, you know, he's... I don't know what he thinks he's doing. Like, maybe he's thinking, you know, I'm trying to take away something, or he's trying to destroy their lives, or he's... Yeah, I don't know what the issue is, that, but why is it 4? Why is that child 4? Why is that your target victim? And then he obviously raped men as well. He's raped men. I'm thinking, what did the men look like? And then he's like describing these men. And I was like, what does your dad look like? And he's like, that's exactly what my dad looks like, actually. And he didn't even clock it until I said it. So all that time he's been raping all these men. Mm. Once I asked these questions, then he literally fell silent. And he, like, his face went pale. And he was like, wow, like... They literally look like my dad. He described his father, basically, his victims, all describing him and his father. And it's like, why is it? Are you just living in your trauma? Are you like, it's just going around your head? What are you trying to achieve? But what I'm trying to say is that it's so normalized. That's the only thing he knows. That's the only thing he's doing. And him, for example, like, he didn't like what he was doing. Like, he did feel really bad, but he said, oh, I can't change. There's no way that I can change. There's
Everyone
no way.
Change.
But that's what I'm trying to say. So, oh, really? Oh, you saying this now? Yeah.
No. I mean, like, no. Everyone except for that can change.
But what I'm trying to say is that he basically thinks that there's no help for him, and he's like self-harming. He was shoving glass bottles up his.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
okay. Like, that's how much he hated what he was doing to other people, but he was doing it to himself. It was like, it was so crazy. That, like, it's just a thought. Mm. It's just a thought. That's all it is. The thoughts can be changed. The program of your thoughts can be changed. That's what I was trying to explain to him. But everyone kept telling him he's dead and he's never going to be this. And da, da, da. And that's how he thinks now. He thinks, oh, I'm not going to change. Now he's going to come out. He's going to leave. He's probably going to end up doing it again.
Yeah, but...
He's not getting the right help.
But what I'm saying is that in itself is just wrong, to even know that we've got people in society that our children are unsafe from. I feel like children should be protected most because they're the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Out of everybody in society that needs protecting is children.
Yeah.
We say protect the women. Like, we've got some feminists agenda, but I believe children need it more.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's an agenda going on, and it's all to do with demonic rituals that's going on. But anyway, if I go too far into that, then you understand that the children thing is actually connected to demon worship, to devil worship.
Because of innocence.
Yeah. And babies and children are always sacrificed.
Yeah.
And unspeakable things were done to them before they were sacrificed.
Yeah, just to get the adrenaline.
Yeah.
So they believe as well that, like, so all these people, they get told these lies as well. They think if they drink young blood, then they can...
stay young.
Yeah.
Doesn't work like that.
Of course it doesn't work like that. But that's what they get told. They are fed with lies. The devil in the Bible, it says he's a liar. The devil actually means liar. It doesn't mean...
he'll tell you 99 lies and one truth.
Yeah.
Don't ever get it twisted. He'll tell you truth sometimes.
He will. But he will mix the truth with the lies.
That's the scary thing about it.
Yeah.
So just another question. Can you share a personal story that touched you deeply when you was doing your charity work?
Yeah, definitely. So, I when I was interviewing people that are homeless and people that are like addicted to like class A drugs, I found that the main reason, well, not the main reason, but most of the answers that I was getting was death in the family, like mum or dad. That's like one thing that kept popping up. And then another thing someone said was, that they basically had everything in their childhood. They had everything, and like they were given the toys, they were given the luxury, they were given that lifestyle that they wanted. And as soon as they grow up, it's like that dopamine weren't leveled up anymore. It was like they were not that child. They weren't getting put on a pedestal. They were just like, it start, the dopamine started to drop. And then they didn't know what to do. Then they went on to this other drug and then this other drug. And then eventually they ended up on the class A's. But, that's another story that really touched me. But, that's like the death and stuff. That was very interesting. I always look at people and think, I don't know how someone's parent that has died, I don't know how they're coping. I've never been in that situation. So I don't know the methods for that, and I don't know how I would react, because I always said if my mum was gone, I'd probably just myself, because I'm so close to my mum. So I don't know, when I hear people's stories like, oh, my mum died, I don't even know what to say. Like, for me, that's such a survivor sort of story. Like, it's like, wow. So when I was hearing all the people that are addicted to the drugs and they all say family died, makes a lot of sense for me.
Yeah, death in the family is, especially of a parent, is probably one of the most traumatic things that most people go through that don't speak about.
Yeah. You can't never get over someone's death as well.
You don't get over it, you just get to learn to live with it.
Yeah.
My cousin died, and I'm never going to be over that.
You just can't, because you don't know what's there, you don't know what's afterlife, you don't know.
It's not even that, it's just that I miss him so much.
Yeah.
Like, I actually miss my cousin. Like, I always think about, like, all my success and everything that I'm at now, I always like have these mad feelings, like if he was here with me, he'd be on this couch right here with me. He'd be, every idea I'd have, he would be there. Like, I remember when I was like younger and I had ideas.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, let's go to Kingston and just film. And he'd be like, yeah, let's go, cuz. And I'd be like, let's go out and let's go and rob people. He's like, yeah, let's go, cuz. Hey, can we go to Shamok? Yeah, let's just go. Like, everything was goal. And when you're an ideas man and someone who's able to, like, push produce him. Ideas, like, I just produce ideas, like, yeah, we're going to do this today. And you got some people like, oh, I don't really do that, because he was the first to jump forward, to be the first one there. And now he's gone, it's like, I need someone like that around me, and he's not here. So it's like, I miss my cousin still, but I've learned one thing, that you never get over it, you just learn how to live with it. But that's why some people turn to drugs, because the moment that happens,
they don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. And then if you was living at their house now, where do you live now? You're not really.
Yeah.
And then that is another factor to do with it, because once you become homeless, you have to know you're going to meet up with people that are homeless.
Yeah.
So now you're in a whole different community. Remember, if you're in the music industry, you're going to meet the devil worshippers.
Yeah.
The higher you go.
Yeah.
Just like if you're homeless, you're going to meet homeless people. But then homeless people, the highest level you go is to everyone's on drugs.
Yeah.
So now we've got a place to live, but it's my man's place. Now we're getting kicked out in a week. Oh, we have to go find another place.
You are who you hang around with.
100%. Yeah. People don't actually understand how much that actually is true.
And another thing as well that people don't understand is like when someone dies, like, for example, a parent, someone very close, because sometimes it might not be a parent. Sometimes it might be, like, for example, your cousin, but your cousin was, like, your mum and dad. Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of love. And people don't understand that. So, like, they have a job, for example, and their parent dies or whatever. They try and take some time off. Like, you can't just take some time. Like, it's just not going to happen. Your people don't understand that. Like, how can you just go back to that job? Some people can't. Some people can't focus on the job. Some people need more time than other people. Then you know, they don't pay their rent. Then this happens. No one actually understands people's troubles and trauma. A lot of the time, like, when I was working, I got really unwell. They didn't understand it. I just kept, like, I was fired and whatnot, you know, and it was like, it's not my fault. Like, you know, I'm actually unwell. But yeah, a lot of people don't understand.
And you said you put that down to stress where you got unwell.
Yeah.
And then how did you de-stress from that to get better? Because you look better right now.
Yeah. There was a lot of things. So, okay, my story is a bit of a funny one because I wasn't always the person I am today. Like, I was dancing with the devil as well.
We all was.
Yeah, yeah.
We all was.
Yeah, but I was doing things that, like, I wouldn't even speak on camera about, but I would, I was really, like, really, like, doing a whole, was it choreography with him, you know? It was crazy. And I think that was the main thing for me, because when you're dancing with the devil, it's like you have, like, the devil can give you everything you want, but he can take it away the next day. Mm. Whereas if you're dancing with God, it could be forever. Like, he'll give you something, it'll be forever. Like, God does not take things away from you, but the devil does. He will give you what you want right this second, and then he'll take it away from you and then watch you dissolve, yeah, literally. Yeah,
facts.
And he loves that. So it was that relationship with the devil that I had. It was like this on and off toxic relationship. It was like he kept giving me things and taking them, and then, like, destroying my life, watching me just, he was trying to kill me, definitely, so many times. But it was like I was fighting it, but because there was no one around me to support me, like my family, I would be telling them things that were happening in my life. And as a kid, you can't really explain things well. Sometimes you don't really have the words for it. Like, when I was getting sexually assaulted, I actually told my family about it. I was like, I don't really feel comfortable with that person. I didn't know how to say it. And I was like, I didn't know what was right and what was wrong.
So you're saying if my daughter ever comes to me and says, I don't feel comfortable with this person.
Oh, yeah, that's a red flag. You better run.
That's what she's basically saying.
Not saying that they might be sexually assaulting them, but maybe there's a reason for that, that you need to investigate that. Yeah, there's definitely, there's something wrong.
So that was your code language to your family.
Yeah, and I was around, what, 9, something like that. So, yeah, so, and my family was just like, oh, you're overreacting.
Because I knew a girl that got sexually assaulted when she was younger, and it just led to a life of promiscuity.
Yeah.
And one day she broke down on my bed. Like, she cheated on her boyfriend, and she found her way at my house at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
She was actually my friend. Well, I wasn't really cool at that, but anyway, she wound up in my house on my bed, and then, like, I don't really understand what happened. She was naked in the sheets, and I was like, bro, like, what are you doing? I remember, you see me, I'm a man, I think, like, a little different to a lot of guys.
Oh, you understand, like, yeah? You're trying to understand.
Like, this is, it's deeper than, I can't just sleep with you and abuse you.
Yeah.
Because I know, you think that's going to make you feel better, but it's going to make you feel worse.
Yeah.
You've already been just caught by your man cheating. You got kicked out. You've come to my yard.
To have sex again.
It doesn't make sense. You're just trying to put a plaster over a wound.
Yeah, but that's...
So now I've got deep with you and said, nah, man, put your clothes on. I'm not going to touch you. You started breaking down crying.
Yeah.
Ah, I don't know why I'm like this. When I was younger, my uncle used to try to finger me. I'm like, oh, shit. What?
Yep.
Whoa, hold up.
That's it.
What happened?
Yeah.
I sit on his lap. He used to try to finger me.
Yeah.
And he's like, stop, uncle. It's hurting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And that's what led her to this lifestyle of where she ended up.
Yeah, because that's what she knows. Like, it's like that fingering. It's like, oh, like, for example, like, I was interviewing someone else the other day, and they were told, you know, if you give me hair, that makes me happy. And then she was a kid. She was like 7. So she didn't know, obviously. She was like, oh, okay. And she was like, what's that thing that comes out, you know? And they're like, that's when you know you've made me happy. So as a kid, she would grow up, and then that's how she thought, you know, that's how you make people happy. So then she would go around, and she had a very promiscuous lifestyle as well. But that's what she thought. And then obviously later on she found out, oh no, that's not actually good. She couldn't stop it now. Because it's like, you're so used to it. You know it's wrong now. But it's like, that's all you know. That's kind of how you deal with the trauma. That's what's comfortable for you. That's what feels like home. That's sad, but it's true.
That's crazy. Because you know what? It's crazy because now, is that giving girls that are moving mad excuses for moving mad?
It's not, but so many girls, or some girls do what they're doing because they want to do it. Yeah?
Now I understand why women have so much empathy towards other women, because you look at it through the lens of a woman that maybe you don't know what she's been through. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to that because I was moving like that one time because of A, B, C, D.
Yeah,
Trust me, go find out the research and read it. As a man, I'm not going to find the research. I just don't care.
Yeah.
You took 100 dicks, that's it. Bye, baby. But so it's not really going to be a thing. It's not going to be a conversation between us because I'm going to think automatically, red flag, done.
Yeah.
I don't want nothing to do with you. But it's very interesting that a lot of people that were sexually assaulted when they was younger grow up to have deviant sex lives as they're older.
Mm-hmm.
But the same way they can be programmed that, now this is where I believe you can be unprogrammed. I genuinely believe you can be unprogrammed when it comes to this. But when it comes to something else, it doesn't, because
no, that's lies.
No, because
still sexual.
Yeah, but it's in the context of humanity.
But you know, paedophile is going to be normalised soon.
No,
because they're putting it as a fetish. They're putting it as a sexual.
No, it's not.
I'm just saying that. It's like pride. It's like all that. So remember, lesbian, gay stuff. That all used to be mental
detested,
health.
Yeah, it used to be detested and mental health.
And now it's very normalized.
Yeah, because we're in a society of because
it's a fetish. It's like
it's not a fetish.
That's, well, that's whatever they want to call
that
it.
That is not a fetish. That is actually a sexual deviancy.
But it's normalized.
In their eyes, not in my eyes.
Yeah, but. Like I'm saying, it's like that's what they're going to do to paedophilia soon. They're going to normalize it. They're trying to normalize it as much as possible.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
But that's what I'm trying to say, though. A lot of girls that are like, and a lot of women as well, they don't have male role figures. They don't actually have a father in their life. And for example, like their mum could have had a mad past, right?
Yeah.
So she don't really know how to be a normal woman. So she's going to give that energy to the daughter. Or even if the mum is good, the dad's not around to tell her, what are you doing? Mm. Like that man is not going to look at you as a wife. Like, what you're doing is incorrect. No, that's not the way to a man's heart. You know, like, so many things. It's even like a lot of women that had a great parenthood, like they're great parents and whatnot, but their first boyfriend was very toxic, and now they think that's what it's meant to be. It's like what you said with, you know, the girl that you were seeing. But yeah, it's like children are sponges. Like they sponge the most, like
subconsciously sponge.
Yeah, yeah. So they don't even know. Yeah, they don't even know.
Even know they're picking up.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't even know. You're
exactly.
Because now I'm older, I see certain things in my parents' relationship, and I'm like, okay, so that's how you move. Like, my mum would be getting mad at my dad, and my dad would just be like he just blank. And I'm thinking, why is my man blanking her? Or not, like, he's just in his own little world.
Then you sort of got it later on in your life.
Yeah, I got it. My mum was stressing him out still, and he said, I've had enough of this. I saw it in his eyes. Where can people find you on social media if someone wants to find you right now?
My social media is a bit off at the moment, but I'm rebuilding my content.
Yeah?
So, there's Elegant Truth. Elegant.truth.
Elegant.truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone go follow Elegant at Truth. It's a great conversation.
We still have time. I was just checking the time.
No, I'm not saying we don't. I'm saying time's running out for me.
Oh, okay, yeah. Did you notice as well? I was just thinking, like, we're talking about time. Like,
yeah. I've got, like, you know, we're shooting the movie, if you don't know. We've got a little movie coming out soon. The movie's actually sick, you know. It's about a woman cheats on her man.
Fantastic.
But then the man goes through depression.
So it's the other way around.
The side that no one wants to show. The side that nobody wants to show. How the man picks himself up and what happens in that state. So yeah, that's what it's about. But
a lot of men get cheated on. Like, it is a fact. They do, especially nowadays. Especially women that have been cheated on, they're projecting their trauma onto other men.
Do you know what's scarier is that you actually got some good guys out there that actually want to love a woman, but
they can't. They're too traumatized.
They know that if I love her and she does this again, I don't have nothing left.
Mm.
There's some men, they've only got this much. They got one relationship left in them.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard a man say to me, I've got one relationship left in me.
It's bad.
I will never let my past determine my future.
Mm. But then you said 100 dicks, bye.
You know, that's too much.
You can't say that. See what I'm saying? You can't forget your past.
No,
other women are like...
You know what? No, because I've been in that relationship with a girl that's been very promiscuous and I know where it ends.
But that's because maybe she was still promiscuous in your relationship.
No. To the best of my ability, you know what I'm saying?
But she probably didn't heal to the best of her ability, do you know what I mean?
I generally think that, this is my experience, you can't satisfy somebody who's been taken to heights that you should never have gone to in the first place. You can't, trust me, I know what I'm talking about, it's like a man that's had mad sexual experiences, he gets a woman and
they usually like to go for the guys next because they've done everything. Yeah, I've had a lot of football players as well. I'm not going to mention no one, but a lot of football players that have like very, very high body counts have now started like having sex with like transgender or gone completely opposite gender.
Whoa. Yeah, that's a mad one still.
But it's like the more sex you have, the more... So like, I'll give you an example. Like if you're in a relationship with some girl or whatever, then you start doing loads of things and you start trying loads of different things. Okay, we'll get this dildo now. Okay, we'll get this extra, extra large round. Okay, we'll get this one. Oh, we'll put three in there. You know, like you're just doing too many things. Eventually, you're going to go to that level you never thought you'd get to. But because of the journey, you just didn't know about the journey. But that's where it gets you. Like the more things you do, the more things you want to... Like, I can't explain it, but... Just
oh, see?
But I'm saying like... I don't know, like, obviously I'm not saying that relationship is good. Like, you could be a match, but, you know, she's obviously still needs a lot of healing. So, no, you shouldn't be together. But say if she was the right woman for you, like, she was good. She was a good girl. She didn't say about the punching thing. Mm. She was quite vanilla in the bedroom. Like, you would never think, you know. But then eventually she'll tell you, like, yeah, this is what happened.
I can work with a woman that tells me she's had a mad part. I can work with her.
But
she needs to show me now she's a whole different person.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. I don't agree that this person's going to still be the same. Like, I wouldn't...
It's 100 dicks. It's never...
What if she was your ideal woman, though?
100 penises is not my ideal. I couldn't even look at you.
Yeah, but what if you didn't know that? And then...
The thing is, I remember Lil Wayne had a tune, yeah? He says, I wouldn't care if you was a prostitute and you fuck every man that you ever knew. And I used to sing that song when I was younger, yeah? And it's like, no, music's dangerous, yeah? But the truth is, yeah, I've always been disappointed by trying to overlook things that need to be looked at.
Mm.
So I never overlook anything anymore. I always look at everything from a sharp lens of...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, all right. I like A, B, C, D, but can I handle E, F, G?
No.
Can I handle it? Do you want to, though? Yeah, yes,
that's the answer.
Because before I used to compromise. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can handle that. And then I'm fucking my mind up. Yeah, I'm fucking my life up.
Yeah.
I'm all having all kinds of weird thoughts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, why am I thinking like this? Yeah. I shouldn't have to feel like this.
Mm.
So, no, I'm not going to put myself in a situation where a woman that's been super promiscuous, because I'm never going to be able to satisfy her. Even though I know I can satisfy her, I'm never going to be able to satisfy her.
That's not true.
Tell me that you've only got 4 bodies when it's 150.
This is why women lie.
Yeah, you do, please. Because I am going to judge you if you tell me it's been over 100. What? I'm gonna judge you.
But what if you was over 100?
Men having sex with different women makes him that he has something special about him. Women have sex with different men.
It's not. It really doesn't. It's all bullshit.
No, I'm not trying to justify it, because I still think that you should be exclusive.
Okay, yeah.
And you should be exclusive of who you touch, because that's what makes you have value to me anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only sleeping with girls that I think are A1, so that, like, if somebody saw me with you, they'll be like, fuck, that nigga's up in it. Look at you see that girl he was with? Mm. And she was a banger, blood.
Mm.
I'd rather go 6 months and find a girl like that than every month find some crusty things. So yeah, I'm bumping into bare crusty. So everyone's
so that's not high value man. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't like when people say a high value man is a man with money. I don't agree. And a high value man is a man that gets pussy. I don't agree, because I feel like a high valued man is someone who values himself. So where is this ongoing
and value,
giving
and
value, my just whacking it out everywhere? Like, you're just jumping like a flea from pussy on pussy, and then what, like, you're getting catching diseases.
I understand the concept of why that becomes a high value, because sex for men is different to how sex is for women.
True.
Meaning that if lots of pretty and beautiful women want to sleep with me, I have to have something about me. So if I was driving, I'd say a Rolls Royce, yeah, I promise you my pussy game be different. Like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
I'll pull over to a girl and the girl be like, oh my God, I think I'm in love. And I'll be like, get in. Like, the conversation's different. Like, just get in.
Get in. I get it. But I'm saying that's society program, though, isn't it? Like, now,
I can say dumb stuff like, yeah, she's seen my rollie. She's looking at my chain. She's thinking, wow, the fuck? Like, what does he do? Like, I'm taking her somewhere. She doesn't even know where she's going.
Yes.
Imagine if she doesn't even know. But I'm so high value. I must be taking you somewhere prestigious, because look what you're driving. Look what you're wearing. Look at you.
Yeah, but that's like, do you get it? That's society programs. Like, say a high valued woman, she wouldn't get in your car because you drive a Rolls Royce.
Because she respects us.
Yeah, because she'll be like, who are you? Like, what's your name? Like, do you know what I mean? It's only like that. That's what people don't see. Like, oh, this guy gets pussy and he's got money. There is some dickheads that have money and pussy, and they are absolute waste of spaces. They are not good for humanity. They are absolutely, they are dickheads. And there are some guys who are fucking broke, who are doing a normal job or just anything. Like, they're just anything, but they are high valued men. They respect themselves. They would not just fuck any woman. They are ambitious. They're working hard for their goals. Mm-hmm. Just because they don't have the money yet doesn't mean that they're not high valued, you know?
And, just to back up your point of what you're saying is, if that's really true, these guys exist, yeah? How come women are always picking the bad ones?
This is unhealed women. That's what we were talking about now.
That's the reason why, is because, let's keep it real, that guy looks like a successful man, because success is always put to assets rather to influence inside of the heart, into character. That's why men get money, so they can flex on girls.
Yeah.
I remember I was watching some deep podcast, and it's like talking about men's real purpose of why they actually work, get money, and go gym and do it is actually for
girls,
women.
Yeah. But it's the same with women.
Yeah, of course.
The way they look beautiful is for men, because men fall in love with what they see.
Thank you. So we're both on par to be one, because that's society. We're meant to be one. It's meant to be man and woman.
Yeah.
I believe in that. Yeah. I'm still traditional in my ideologies. I don't have any weird ideology. Yeah, man for man and women for women. I believe that man is for woman and woman's for man. So we are designed to be attractive to each other. So the things that you might look at me and find attractive, you'd be like, damn. And the things that I look at you and find attractive, you're going to be like, damn. So in general, when it comes to this world and how we understand things, it is always through the text and the lens of how we've grown up and the things that we've been socially conditioned to.
Yeah.
So if I've been socially conditioned to, like, yeah, bunders, that's what I'm going to like when I see a woman. I'm going to like tits.
Yeah.
So naturally, I'm going to be attracted to women.
Yeah.
The problem that what people face with high-value men is that high value men are high value because women flock to them. They don't flock nowhere because of the assets that they have makes them appreciate.
Yeah, but it's like, but it's like saying, okay, well, rotten tree produces rotten fruit, fine tree produces fine fruit. Like, what women are you really attracting, though? Are they actually, like, good women? That's another thing, like, people just thought, oh, yeah, they get pussy, but is the pussy good? Is the pussy clean? Is it actually a good pussy? Like, because it's just fucking pussy. Like, it's not actually hard to get pussy. Do you know what? I'm a woman and I can get pussy. It's not fucking hard. Like, it's actually not hard. Like, there's some men, they just don't have confidence. You can fake confidence, you know? You can go out there, be ugly as fuck, don't have any fucking money, and still get pussy.
Facts.
Energy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't agree with all that, especially when men, like, when people say, oh, men are like they compare, like, men to, like, animals. That, would you fuck your sister? No. Animals do. They'll fuck their mum, they'll fuck their dad. They don't care. They do that. So when people say, like, oh, men are like animals and we're like animals, like, no, if we were animals, we'd be fucking called animals. Wouldn't be called humans. There's a reason why we're humans. There's a reason why we have logic and, like, emotions, not as much as an animal, you know? Because they say, you know, a lion will breed and it will just go off and breed and whatnot and da 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 da. Because it's a lion, because it's in the wild. Like, we have a house, we've got keys. You know, we drive a car. Like, we're not animals.
Yeah, is that for me personally, I've always seen it as weird. Like, for me personally, and I say this openly to anyone, you need to stop having sex with women to understand how much you love yourself. And it sounds crazy what I'm about. It doesn't even sound normal.
No, it does.
It doesn't even sound
normal. I agree.
Like, it doesn't even... So most men, I'm sounding like I'm simping or I've lost my mind. But yeah, I've understood it deeper. You've had so much sex with so much women in your life. It doesn't even become enjoyable to just have sex. Like, just looking at women wanting to have sex, that's nothing. I want to have a mental connection. I want...
So rare to find as well.
I want to be in your mind.
Like, yeah.
You understand me. I can look at you and you know exactly what's going on in my
Give
head.
Me a brain orgasm as well. Do you know what I mean? Not just there, like...
Yeah, like, can here. You... And I feel, for me, that's the only time I can actually perform my best.
Yeah, of course.
Is when I'm mentally connected.
Yeah.
You can tell when I'm mentally disconnected from a woman because I'm not even doing what I'm meant to be doing.
Yeah, like, what's your name again? Like, yeah, like, I get that.
I'm not in that zone, and I feel like a lot of men don't actually understand it. I feel like when you get a little older, it changes still. Like, your body actually changes and your mind changes.
Mm.
Once you... That's what I was trying to say about a woman being with lots of men.
Yeah.
There could be one man that had her mentally in a next type of way.
Yeah.
I come through and I'm just a normal Harry. It's like, you have to match that. And that's hard if she's had a lot. If she's had less, then less experiences mean less mental experience.
But then I don't think then she had that mental experience that often, because then it wouldn't be as many dicks.
Maybe
that's a lot why a lot of these women that are so promiscuous and they go around jumping, they actually want to find that mental connection. That's why they're going, like, a lot of women, like, for example, like the lady that I was interviewing, she thought that's what made the men happy. So a lot of women, like, oh, like, I had this problem as well. Like, if I was in a relationship with someone and then something would go wrong, I would automatically go to the sex part, you know? Mm. And it's like, I would try and make something sexual because I would think, you know, it's the happy moment. But it's not like that. You know, you grow out of it and you think, no, wait, that's not right. You need to communicate. You need to do this. Da-da. Like, there's so many other ways around it. I forgot what I was going to say, actually.
No, you said the people that go straight to sex instead of actually the mental connection. You're talking about mental connection right now.
I forgot the point of it, though.
I'm saying to you, if you're having sex with people and not having a mental connection, you're selling yourself short. Me personally, I haven't even got time for that because I'm wasting time. I'm not going to perform. You're not going to enjoy it. I'm not going to enjoy it as I should. It's not going to go to where I want it to go. So for me personally, I would always want a more of a mental connection before a physical one. For me now, where I'm at now in my life.
No, of course. I don't even get turned on anymore like that. Like, I'll see someone good looking and I'll just be like, I'll just pray. I'll be like, yeah, well, good looking. But if I was to talk to them and then we had nothing, I would never even give them my number out. Like, no matter how good looking you are, like, back in the day, I'd probably like, oh, yeah, but maybe something later. Like, no. Like, right, I just know, like, oh, there's nothing
where
there.
Where did that voice come from?
Like, you know, just because I'm just, like, referring to my old silly self. That's why I would use that voice. But, like, nowadays, like, if someone's good looking, I actually have to, like, and do you know what the maddest one is? Like, mental, spiritual, and physical connection. Oof, that's a bomb, that one. Like, I ain't found that one yet. You know I find that one? You won't even see me. I'll be at home cooking 24/7. I'll be doing the most, yeah.
But I feel like that's very rare to find.
Very rare.
That's why I said, for me, it has to be mental, man. I can't do that, man.
Yeah.
If that doesn't make me high value, then I couldn't really care less what society... classes, whatever they want to classes. I know what I like,
and
I'm going to only go with what I like.
Look, who are we to be judged by people? Who are they to tell me if I'm high value or not? They don't even know my fucking name.
I've got to a point in my life where I only put myself in places where I'm respected. I never go to anywhere where I feel like there could be a sentiment of disrespect.
Yeah.
I never go to places where people don't value my presence.
Mm.
I don't go anywhere, so that's why people won't see me in places. You won't see me with the regular people.
Yeah.
But when you do see me out, know that that person values me.
Yeah.
Because I don't roll with anyone that
who doesn't,
or even someone who undermines my value in any way.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So I feel like putting yourself on that kind of pedestal yourself, you start to get looked at in that pedestal because you're putting yourself in that pedestal, and that's why it's dangerous for men to go around and sleep with bare gal. Because sleeping with a bare gal, you're decreasing your own value. This gal, I've looked back and said, bruv, how did I even touch? No, I need to...
But don't you think you've ever had sex with a girl and then felt like shit after?
Many a times.
Yeah. Like, also people don't, I always say about the energy exchange, and people like, in the Bible, it literally says, like, you become one. You have sex to become one. Like, that's, you literally,
the purpose of it.
Like, that is, that's, you know, the purpose. That's, you're the becoming one, like, this all joint together, you know, like, it's so crazy. And then, like, you exchange the energy. So a lot of people, like, when they sleep with people that they don't know, who are these people? Like, what are they doing? Like, do you know if they're depressed? Did you know they tried to commit suicide the other day? Did you know that, you know, their parent just died? Did you know what I mean? And you're taking on that energy, and then no wonder why you feel like shit for a couple of days. I've had that before with someone.
But I'm thinking, if that's really true, yeah, like, does that mean that the girls that I'm having sex with, I'm giving them some blessed life?
Yeah, then? You are, yeah.
So that means they go on to live a better life after me.
Not even better life, but
what
it's like...
What is going on? So I'm giving you blessings and you're giving me energy. Curses. That's mad.
Yeah, yeah.
That exchange is mad. I'm not doing that exchange. Forget that.
Yeah,
I need
yeah.
to know your history.
So if you have good energy, you'll give the good energy. Like, I had that experience with someone before. It was quite a crazy one.
See? Too much experiences. Now I can't match up. See? This is what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying I had that experience. Like, I had sex with someone and I thought I knew them, like, yeah, but it was not what I thought. Like, and it was like we swapped energies. Like, we literally, like, it was like we swapped bodies for it. Like, it was so weird. I've never experienced that in my life. And that's when I started to learn about the energy stuff, because I didn't know about that.
That's mad.
Yeah.
So I think that's happened to me a few times.
Yeah.
Some depressed girl, bro, and just left the relationship feeling depressed.
This was me. This was literally me. I
gave up on love. I said, I'm never, ever getting with a girl again. Flip this. I'm out here doing my thing.
It was crazy.
And then she was out here
having the best time of their life. That's literally what happened. So this guy that I was seeing, he was quite depressed, but I didn't, like, I was trying to, like, me as a person, I'm empath, you know, like, come here, like, I'll make it better, da, 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 you know? And then all of a sudden, like, we had sex, and then I don't know what it was. I just lost my energy. I just felt like shit, you know? And he was like full of energy. He's like, let's go there. I'll buy the tickets now. Da, da. And I was like, I don't want to go. He's like, what? I'll pay for you. And I was like, I don't want to go. And he's like, what's wrong with you? Da, da, da. Why are you acting like this? Da, da, da. What's wrong? Tell me what's wrong. I didn't know what was wrong. I was like, I don't know what was wrong. I just feel like the way I feel. Like, I'm just feeling like this right now. What?
So he took your good energy, you know? And gave.
Yeah. And then he was, and he blocked me, you know? He was like, because I didn't want to tell him what was wrong, and I didn't know what was wrong, and he blocked me. He was like, you're a bitch, you're this, you're that. And I was like, fuck you then, like, go away then, and whatever. Like, he disappeared. And then a couple of days later, I felt suicidal, and I did not have a reason to feel like that. My life was fine. Like, I had a good, like, I was making money, I had my own place, I had a car, you know, I had, everything was fine. And then I felt suicidal, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? And I remember he said that he was feeling a bit suicidal. And then when I looked at his profile, he was out in Miami having fun. Not suicidal at all.
That right there is why energy is important.
It's so mad.
Protect your energy, bro. Like, Digga D, bro. Trust me. But Red Talks were out. Bow. Like, comment, and subscribe. Make sure you go like, comment, and subscribe. All right.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.